Once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. Okay, I guess I'm being heard. It doesn't sound like I'm being heard, but I guess I am. We are in funny situations all over the country, all over the world. Set up scenarios being delivered to us in many respects. And I just seem to find it very easy to connect the dots these days. Very easy. Here I received a fax. All corporate employees vacation specials, only $99 to Florida. 5 days and four nights to Orlando. Two free theme park tickets of your choice to Disney, SeaWorld, or Universal Studios. And 2 days, 3 days and two nights at Daytona Beach. Anyway, they're trying to improve tourism down in Florida, and certainly that's a pretty wreaked area, a pretty wrecked area and wreaked upon by weather modification. As I see it, if they can be steered out of harm's way, as many experts have said, then why did they come into harm's way to create the devastation that these three hurricanes did? And there's much on our website about that. Dennis has put it up there. With the help of his staff, they continue doing a tremendous job on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Here we see that's very, very relevant to those in Missouri. And here it is in Oklahoma. The metering of water wells on the horizon in Oklahoma, who knows? From today's paper, Wednesday, the 2nd of November, expert calls water value underappreciated. Americans are drinking and eating their environment dry. A professor, an expert on groundwater, said Tuesday at the Oklahoma Governor's Water Conference, quote, "Water has a value we haven't appreciated," end quote, said Robert Glennon, a professor at the University of Arizona College of Law. Quote, "It's not rocket science," end quote. Glennon spoke to about 200 politicians, water experts, and residents as the first day keynote speaker at the Cox Convention Center. He wrote the first book about the impact of mining groundwater on the environment. About 45% of water used in Oklahoma is groundwater, with farmers using up to 80% of it nationally. Glennon said, Americans now use 30 trillion gallons of groundwater annually. That's bad news, Glennon said, because overusing groundwater can dry up streams and rivers, cause erosion, and lead to poor water. This is insane, as we are surrounded by ocean water that can be desalinated and used for many purposes in this country and the rest of the world. This is why we are in a setup scenario. The real ability to take care of a large population, as it's been reported, can be done. The Earth has now outlived its carrying capacity. There are not too many people on the Earth. We're being told this by the UN system, which is designed to control mankind and eliminate a good portion of the human race. The United Nations is the biggest setup organization in the history of mankind. Quality is important, with more than half of Americans depending on it for drinking, Glennon said. Quote, in the end, I'm optimistic, end quote, he said. Glennon, the author of Water Follies, Groundwater Pumping, and The Fate of America's Fresh Waters, said overusing groundwater has been a problem for years, but increased the last two decades for several reasons. One of those is McDonald's, Glennon said. In 1996, McDonald's contract farmers began using more groundwater to irrigate potatoes when restaurant officials realized more water would lengthen the fries, meaning the French fries, so they would fit the boxes, Glennon said. Glennon said the average American eats 30 pounds of fries a year. He also said the bottled water fad has increased groundwater production because most states, including Oklahoma, give water rights to those using it for beneficial purposes. A company can come in and pump as much water as needed. The law needs to be examined because reasonable use isn't always clear, Glennon said. Groundwater laws are underdeveloped, Glennon said, and were molded around gold mining years ago. Quote, if you think about it, miners were thieves, he said. Two laughs. The law has not kept pace, end quote. He recommended several changes to decrease pumping, including restricting access, requiring conservation, and increasing water rates. He said customers don't pay for the actual water, but for the cost of production. Well, what are they alluding to here? And where does groundwater come from? Rain. And you have drought inducement going on. You have weather modification that is the reality in place today. Understanding that is very, very important, people. You don't connect dots unless you do research. And it's very easy to do research today. Here we see the state's largest agency wants assurance of repayment if it doles out money to help the less fortunate keep warm. State Representative Ryan Kissel urged the State Department of Human Services to use a portion of its $26 million budget carryover to help the federal low income home energy assistance program. Kissel, Democrat of Seminole, and the first House member to urge DHS to shift its surplus funds to the program. The plan would require legislators to approve supplemental funding when they return in February for the 2006 session, so no money would be taken away from DHS programs. See, as more and more people lose their jobs and they have less and less ability to connect their dots to how to survive, we are in more and more of a situation where we're being more and more controlled and manipulated and fighting over just a handful of money. Here we see state worker lauded for helping 8,000 plus children find homes. This is a woman who secured more than 8,000 Oklahoma adoptions in nearly 30 years, has been recognized nationally. And how come so many children need homes? Broken families. How come we have so many broken families? Well, the dumbing down process in the schools started in the 1930s. The drugging down process in society started in the 1960s. So this is just the way it is with the conspiracy to control mankind and eliminate a good portion of mankind. And I always seem to go back to Korea and Vietnam because those are forgotten wars. But I don't forget them. And what in the world is going on now? You think back on the Vietnam War, and you think about children giving our soldiers baskets of fruit, and there might be a booby trap in the basket of fruit or something, and it would set off. You just, you know, remember when our soldiers came back from Vietnam, they were spat upon, they were vilified. And because the press complained to our people about our military being baby killers. Well, how many babies and young children have been killed in the Middle East now? And there's no publicity about that at all whatsoever, about the maiming of children that is going on right now in the Middle East. Right now, right this very minute, a child's probably been killed because of warfare in the Middle East, another Vietnam. And if you look at the Communist Party USA website, they agree wholeheartedly about this. But that's part of the Hegelian dialectic, as I see it. And here we see Bush outlines plans to stem flu pandemic. And this is more propaganda to make us take the shots, in my opinion. And it's a $7.1 billion strategy to prepare for a possible worldwide super flu outbreak, aiming to overhaul the vaccine industry so eventually every American could be inoculated within 6 months of a pandemic. And this is just amazing. Such a huge change would take years to implement. Bush's goal is 2010, and his plan drew immediate fire from critics who said it wouldn't provide enough protection. In the meantime, states, too, got an unpleasant surprise, ordered to purchase millions of doses of an anti-flu drug with their own money. The long-awaited strategy also stresses expanded attempts to detect and contain the next super flu before it reaches the United States, with particular attention to parts of Asia that are influenza incubators, a global focus that flu specialists have insisted the government adopt. This is just hard to fathom, some of this. As you realize how things have been going for so long, you just wonder where this is all going. To get everybody inoculated, to get everybody sick? Inoculations? Here's a quote. Early detection is our first line of defense, end quote, Bush said in a speech at the National Institutes of Health. He called on other countries to admit when superflu strains occur within our borders, quote, no nation can afford to ignore this threat, end quote, he said. At the same time, Bush sought to reassure a public jittery over the spread of bird flu called H5N1, which has killed at least 62 people in Asia since 2003 and caused the death or destruction of tens of millions of birds. Tens of millions of birds, listeners. So we're going to have a whole flock of birds of various species going to be declared endangered because of this. This just doesn't make any sense, except the fact that under Agenda 21, if it has a face, we're not supposed to eat it. No meat of any sort. We're all going to be vegetarians. Won't that be a shock to all of us? Tens of millions of birds have been destroyed, according to this information on today's Oklahoman. There's no evidence that a human pandemic of H5N1 or any other super strain is about to start, Bush said repeatedly. Still, there have been three flu pandemics in the last century, and the world is overdue for another. Concern is growing that the bird flu could provide the spark if it one day mutates so that it can spread easily from person to person. Here's another article on the back page of the front page of the Oklahoman. State already planning for flu pandemic. LaFleur County chicken farmer Gary Cannon admits he hasn't thought much about the bird flu, the match that could spark a widespread influenza outbreak. Then again, Cannon isn't sure what difference it would make if he did think about it. But I suppose I should be more informed, end quote, Gannon said, quote, I know it's pretty serious, but if you get to thinking about too much, it could drive you crazy. President Bush hoped to calm such fears Tuesday when he outlined a $7.1 billion strategy to prepare for any potential outbreak. And once again, read Morris Beal's book. It's on page 2 of our website, The Drug Story. Very, very relevant. Very, very relevant. On the website, AmericanExpose.com, the International Development Research Center, the IDRC, is a Canadian Crown corporation that works in close collaboration with researchers from the developing world in their search for the means to build healthier, more equitable, and more prosperous societies. I see. And here we see the Global Research it's the Global Health Research Initiative, GHRI, a partnership between the Canadian International Development Agency, Canadian Institutes of Health Research, Health Canada, and the International Development Research Center, invites letters of intent from teams composed of Canadian and low and middle income country researchers and research users interested in developing programs to solve pressing health problems in LMICs, that's low and middle income countries. All these groups that I was talking about, or I was covering here, the GHRI, the CIDA, that's the Canadian International Development Agency, the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, the CIHR, the Canadian Health and the International Development Research Center, the IDRC, they're all NGOs of the UN system, listeners. That's what it's all about. That's what we have going on here. So, as things maneuver themselves today, and certainly everything covers itself into the cloak of Agenda 21, from the State Department, they've sort of updated their website regarding the Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. And certainly, Vicky's done some tremendous research on her channelingreality.com. And we're dealing with GATS a little bit today, General Agreement on Trade and Services. And the decision on negotiations on movement of natural persons. We covered that. And at this point, from that document, the GATS document, they say, noting the commitments resulting from the Uruguay round negotiations on the movement of natural persons for the purpose of supplying services, mindful of the objectives of the General Agreement on Trade and Services, including the increasing participation of developing countries in trade and services and the expansion of their surface exports, recognizing the importance of achieving higher levels of commitments on the movement of natural persons in order to provide for a balance of benefits under the General Agreement on Trade and Services. They decide as follows. One, negotiations on further liberalization of movement of natural persons for the purpose of supplying services shall continue beyond the conclusion of the Uruguay round, with a view to allowing the achievement of higher levels of commitments by participants under the General Agreement on Trade and Services. Oh, really? Number two, negotiating group. A negotiating group on movement of natural persons is established to carry out the negotiations. The group shall establish its own procedures and shall report periodically to the Council in Trade and Services. Number three, the negotiating group shall hold its first negotiating session no later than 16 May 1994. It shall conclude these negotiations and produce a final report no later than 6 months after the entry into force of the agreement establishing the World Trade Organization. And that's the point. WTO had to happen, GATT had to happen, NAFTA had to happen, CAFTA had to happen, and FTAA will happen. That doesn't keep you from trying to stop it, though. Very, very important. And number four, commitments resulting from negotiations shall be inscribed in members' schedules of specific commitments. How amazing is this? Okay, so we have the movement of natural persons in the WTO. And from the State Department, reflecting the best humanitarian traditions of the American people, the U.S. government funds protection and life-sustaining relief for millions of refugees and victims of conflict around the globe. Now, who forms the wars? Who forms the weather modification? Who forms the environmental modification, listeners? The bankers. The reserve system. The United States also admits tens of thousands of refugees annually for permanent resettlement. The Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, headed by Acting Assistant Secretary Richard L. Green, is central to these efforts within the government, PRM. Has primary responsibility for formulating policies on population, refugees, and migration, and for administering U.S. refugee assistance and administration's programs. It's a setup, people. We live this setup scenario. We're upset about the borders being porous. Well, they're porous by design. Those immigration advocates that are against illegal immigration aren't getting the big picture, aren't understanding the planned scenario in place, aren't realizing what's going on, or they're controlled and manipulated, and they're on the other side. And they're just trying to keep you off base. That is the problem, listeners. Once again, PRM coordinates U.S. international population policy and promotes its goals through bilateral and multilateral cooperation. It works closely with the U.S. Agency for International Development, which administers U.S. international population programs. The Bureau also coordinates U.S. international migration policy within the U.S. government and through bilateral and multilateral diplomacy. PRM, Population, Refugees, and Migration, PRM, administers and monitors U.S. contributions to international non-governmental organizations to assist and protect refugees abroad, and overseeing admissions of refugees to the United States for permanent resettlement. The Bureau works closely with the Immigration and Naturalization Service, the Department of Health and Human Services, and various state and private voluntary agencies. So you see how this UN system is manipulating itself with migration to America, and the jobs disappearing in America, and the service economy being emerged from that. Here we see the World Summit on the Information Society, which was way back in 2003 and now to 2005. It provides a platform for dialogue on the central role ICTs play in human development. And once again, people, we are being set up in a daily direction, and we aren't really comprehending how big and monumental this monster is. Dialogue on this, once again, provides, the World Summit on Information Society provides a platform for dialogue on the central role ICTs play in human development, as well as a unique opportunity to engage governments, the private sector, civil society, and international organizations in a forward-looking action plan. IDRC and its partners have been engaged in the WSIS preparatory process from the onset and had a strong presence at the Geneva Summit in December 2003. IDRC organized two workshops at the ICT 4D platform. Oh my gosh, seems like I'm losing my voice here. Maybe Jeff's there, wants to call in. 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. I think Nicholas might be there tonight. Well, that's part of our website, the IDRC. And I'm just amazed at all that's going on a daily direction in the UN system and its directions that come out of it. I'm just amazed. And how can we get so enough people galvanized to understand what's going on? The World Summit on the Information Society, WSIS, brings together key stakeholders from different sectors to debate and exchange thoughts on the future of the information society. What is the information society, people? Control of information. The WSIS is organized in two phases. Phase one was hosted in Geneva, December 10th through the 12th, 2003. And phase two is to be hosted in Tunis, 16 to 18 November, 2005. Not but 2 weeks from now, listeners. 2 weeks from now, they'll have their phase two meeting. IDRC has a breadth of experience researching the impact of ICTs in developing countries and countries to actively participate in the WSIS process. Ah, come on. Control of information is vital. So they have events and workshops. Oh, yeah, the events and workshops promoting African research and education networking. Pro-poor, pro-market ICT policy and regulation. Telecenters Leaders Forum, the TLF. Lots of information here on our website. Information and Communication Technologies out of Canada. It's a boondoggle, people. It's a big boondoggle. And this is why I do what I do at this juncture. If we don't, what good are we? That's a good question. I did cover that Gorbachev spoke out here in Oklahoma, and this is pretty vital information. Try to connect dots to what's going on, and it's very, very interesting to see that.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and WBCQ Shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
There's just so much, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which direction do I take? And this is why I'm just, everything's so spontaneous for me. And I'm just, oh. From the Council on Foreign Relations, building a North American community that can be purchased from the Council on Foreign Relations, dated May 2005. This is very, very vital information. If you can have it in your ability to purchase for $15, the book from the Council on Foreign Relations, Building a North American Community, it's highly recommended that you purchase it. It's 175 pages, and it's $15, as I said before. The ISBN number for the Building a North American Community book is 0-87609. That's 0-87609-348-9. That's to purchase the book, Building a North American Community, vital reading for all of us. It's the plan of the CFR. CFR has been in place officially since 1921, but it was never publicized to the people of the world that the CFR existed. It had to slowly but surely come out in the open. And I think it started in the 1960s. But you never hear much about the CFR today. That's by design. The ISBN number for Building a North American Community, once again, is 0-87609-348-9. ISBN numbers, I don't believe, ever came into place until after 1992, the Rio Earth Summit, which brought about the Biodiversity Treaty and Agenda 21. So sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations in association with the Canadian Council of Chief Executives and the Consejo Mexicano de Asuntos Internacionales, North America is vulnerable on several fronts. The region faces terrorist and criminal security threats. So let's lease the Panama Canal to communist China. Oh my gosh. Once again, the region faces terrorist and criminal security threats, increased economic competition from abroad. Well, that's because of the World Trade Organization and GATT and UNIDO, United Nations Industrial Development Organization, all formed in the 1940s, late 40s. And uneven economic development at home. I see. Uneven economic development. The whole purpose for NAFTA was to make it so prosperous in Mexico that the people from Mexico would not want to come to America. That was the whole reason that we passed NAFTA to begin with in 1994 or 1993. I forgot which. It never happened. The people of Mexico were not prosperous. The people of Mexico are just as poor now as they were 20 years ago. And 10 years ago. The people in America are just as poor as they were 10 and 20 years ago, but the price of living has increased substantially. This is the whole direction of all this. Then we have global warming being fed us, that we've got to pay attention to global warming, which means we'll be further deindustrialized. So we're in a gigantic setup situation. So they say in response to these challenges, a tribunal, independent task force on the future of North America, has developed a roadmap to promote North American security and advance the well-being of citizens of all three countries. Now, what happened to the Mexican troops that came to America under Katrina? What happened to the Canadian troops that came to this country under Katrina? What happened to the troops from, I believe it was Holland, that came to this country? Where are they now? What are they doing? And how come we haven't heard a word about it? You see the plan in place. You find an excuse to make our troops disappear. And then you bring foreign troops to America. Under the UN system, foreign troops are going to be patrolling foreign countries all over the globe. So this goes back to say, when the leaders of Canada, Mexico, and the United States met in Texas recently, they underscored, that's right, they underscored the deep ties and shared principles of three countries. The council-sponsored task force applauds the announced, quote, security and prosperity partnership of North America, end quote. I see. The security and prosperity partnership. Who's prospering from this, I'm asking? Is anyone prospering from this? Is this not incredible? The security and partnership, I'm sorry, the security and prosperity partnership of North America. But proposes a more ambitious vision of a new community by 2010. There's that date, 2010, and specific recommendations on how to achieve it. Oh, very, 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 very good information on the website supplied by Dennis and his staff from the Council on Foreign Relations. Beat that with a stick, why don't you? It's the International Development Research Center, item number 7. Under today's date, you have the Aspen Institute and Marxist Praxis, Roots of Total Quality Management. There's major information here on the website. I'm just absolutely amazed at how it gets done. I find it very, very difficult to connect dots to how it gets done, Dennis. I just don't know how you do it. What did I think I was going to do now? I wanted to connect to Green Cross International because Mikhail Gorbachev is here. Prince Charles is here today, or these days, Prince and Camilla, visiting the scene of what happened out of Katrina. I'm sorry, the World Trade Center. And actually, they are visiting Katrina. Devastated areas too. Prince Charles. He has a major, major game to play in all this. Prince Charles is a major player in all this. I want to make it perfectly clear, though, that Mikhail Gorbachev and his Green Cross International has a major agenda in place. And what Mikhail Gorbachev has stated, he's chairman of the board of Green Cross International, is we desperately need to recognize that we are the guest, not the masters of nature, and adopt a new paradigm for development based on the cost and benefits of all people and bound by the limits of nature herself rather than the limits of technology and consumerism, end quote. Now that's just amazing coming from a man that had a major part to play in the invasion of Afghanistan in 1979 by the Soviet Union, where booby-trapped toys were dropped out of helicopters, maiming children, killing some, but maiming them and terrorizing them was the purpose of the booby-trapped toys. The ruthlessness of leaders to control populations, to reduce populations, is frightening to me. Maybe not to you, but to me it is. And I'm very, very sorry that this has been going on. For some reason, I can't get to the Water Conference. But on November 1st, Chemical Weapons Convention in Russia. November 7th, Earth Charter Plus 5. Well, that was... let's hear about that one. Hi, Tim. Tim, how are you tonight? Hello, Tim. Hello, Tim. What happened to my caller, my friend? Hello, Tim. Tim, are you there? Hello, Timmy.
Can you hear me?
I hear him now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now we got it.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Oh, mighty fine.
Good to hear your voice.
Losing your voice?
Yeah, I've got a pretty dry voice today for some reason. I don't know what the deal is. I'm skipping over my words and everything else.
Now I can't hear you again.
Okay, you can hear. I can hear you now. Can you hear me? Okay, Tim. Tim, you probably hung up there, huh?
I can't hear you, Chris.
Oh, Tim, I can hear you.
You can hear me. You sound like you're 1,000 miles away.
I can hear you. I can hear you, Tim.
Oh, Tim, what are you doing, my friend? Can you hear me now?
No, I can't hear you enough to carry on a conversation.
Okay, well, I'll
call
you.
Let me call back in.
Okay, call back in.
Okay, I'll call right back.
Okay. We have Dialogue for Sustainable Water Management, the first international dialogue on the worldwide water crisis towards a sustainable and efficient management will take place in Seville, 24 November 2005, organized by Green Cross of Spain, listeners. Can you believe this? The first international dialogue on the worldwide water crisis towards a sustainable and efficient management will take place in Seville, organized by Green Cross Spain. Won't that be neat? Green Cross International, according to William Roberts, has 28 Green Crosses. Oh, boy, and I can't download this thing. It's going to take forever to do that. Here we have the La Plata River Basin is shared by 5 countries. Hello?
Chris.
Hello. I'm
Nicholas.
Here. Hello.
Hello.
Speak up.
Chris.
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Speak.
Okay. The rebuilding of New Orleans.
Yes.
I was monitoring the opposition the other night, watching the television.
Uh-huh.
And what they call this, what they're going to do, is they're going to be using new urbanism. That's what they're calling it. And I pushed new urbanism into Google, and it brought up this site, creating livable, sustainable communities.
Uh-huh.
It says new urbanism. It says promotes the creation and restoration of diverse, walkable, compact, vibrant, mixed-used communities composed of the same components as conventional development, but assembled in a more integrated fashion in the form of complete communities.
Hmm.
These contain housing, workplaces, shops, entertainment, schools, parks, and civic facilities essential to the daily lives of all residents, all within easy walking distance of each other.
There you have it.
New urbanism promotes the increased use of trains and light rail instead of more highways and roads. Urban living is rapidly becoming the new hip life for people of all ages. Currently there are over 500 new urbanism projects planned or under construction in the United States alone. Half of which are in historic urban centers.
You better repeat that one.
urban living is rapidly becoming the new hip, and modern way for all people of all ages. Currently, there are over 500 new urbanism projects planned or under construction in the United States alone, half of which are in historic urban centers.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have another cat coming out of the bag.
Yeah, more exposure. Very good. Very
new
easy to find this information these days, isn't it?
Well, you know, every time you turn around, it's called something else.
Yeah, they just had the National Geographic Channel tonight as well, a two-hour special on Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
And it was very, very interesting how the coordination is being exposed there. And still, 1 million people were told to leave, and apparently, according to the news, 1 million people were taken out of that area, and we'd like to know what happened to them all.
Yeah.
Here we see a major Earth Charter gathering will take place at the Royal Tropical Institute in Amsterdam 5 years after the launch of the Earth Charter, and this will be held from the 7th to the 9th of November 2005 in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Isn't that just amazing?
Hmm.
And we're just not hearing much about these conferences and meetings because they all happen in foreign countries, and that's why Joan Vian goes to these foreign countries to attend these meetings to get the information out, and so vital.
Well, these are the kind of things that they're planning behind their backs, and now they're bringing it out in the open. And every other day they call it's something else, and in another area it will be called something else. If any of the listeners would like to check this out, it's newurbanism.org. Very
newurbanism.org.
Newurbanism.org.
Uh-huh.
And the principles of new urbanism can be applied increasingly to projects at the full range of scales, from a single building to an entire community. Walkability, connectivity, mixed use and diversity, mixed housing, quality architecture and urban design, traditional neighborhood structure, increased density. Of course, you know, they got to pack them in there like sardines.
Uh-huh.
Smart transportation. Oh, get your pedaling legs ready, folks.
Yep.
They all thought we were kooks, you know.
Yeah,
telling our listeners that they want us out of our cars and they want us on bicycles. Here it is right here. Smart transportation. It's part of new urbanism. A network of high-quality trains connecting cities, towns, and neighborhoods together. Pedestrian-friendly design that encourages a greater use of bicycles, rollerblades, scooters, and walking as daily transportation.
There you go.
You got your bicycle out, Chris?
It's hanging up in the shop.
Yeah.
Mine's
in the barn.
So we better get them full of air. Fill up those tires.
I'm telling you.
This will blow your mind. Dated the 31st of October, Queen visits Earth Charter Plus 5 in Amsterdam, 5 to 9 November, Worldwide Conference on Implementation of Sustainable Development. Her Majesty the Queen will attend the Earth Charter Plus 5 meeting at the Royal Tropical Institute in Amsterdam on Wednesday, 9 November. The mission of the Earth Charter is to create a fair, sustainable, and peaceful future for the youth of our time and future generations. During the anniversary meeting, the Queen will receive the first copy of the book, The Earth Charter in Action Toward a Sustainable World. Isn't that amazing?
There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
and the code word for Agenda 21 is sustainable development.
I'm also curious why those two men are here in the United States at the same time.
That's right, Mikhail Gorbachev and Prince Charles.
There's something in the wind.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It says the Earth Charter document has been composed after consultation involving thousands of people and hundreds of organizations throughout the world. And what's that, the UN system? It was launched in June 2000 at the Peace Palace in The Hague in the presence of Queen Beatrice, because of the deep involvement of the Dutch royal family with the charter, as well as with sustainable development. The event will also take place within the context of the Queen's Silver Jubilee. Silver Jubilee, I see.
Well, as we sit here in America, describing how sustainable development is the code word for Agenda 21, and then we're describing how Agenda 21 is being implemented by every government in the United States, city, state, county, federal, it's all being implemented right under our very noses. I think I'm going to go and pick up my shotgun and walk out back and check for hogs.
Why not? Oh, my goodness, there's an article about that. I wonder if it's handy here. About hogs.
You're not going to tell me I can't shoot my wild hogs anymore.
No, but it's an article I saved, and I wanted to cover it. Here it is. Oh, great. This is amazing. Military fights war against nature. This is dated October 22nd. Cedar trees and wild hogs are causing problems on two of Oklahoma's military bases. Although Fort Sill officials declined to comment, a national study of military bases by the National Wildlife Federation says 20% of the Southwest Oklahoma Post's 94,000 acres is overrun by tamarisk or salt cedar, as it is also known. Tamarisk is damaging recreational ponds in the areas, putting the fish and wildlife habitat at risk. Here I see a four-month-old feral hog captured on the grounds of the McAllister Army Ammunition Plant is held in a pen until its disposition. Bill Sturry, National Resources Manager of the plant, said 169 hogs have been captured this year. So they capture them and they relocate them somewhere.
I tell you what, they must have brought them to the guy behind my place that has 250 acres back there, because there's a whole herd of them back there. And Chris, let me tell you, these things, when they come in, they can literally replow and eat every seed that you planted. And well, the last time I planted was six weeks ago, and it got up to where it was little plants about 3 to 4 inches tall, and in one night the entire acre was plowed. Was just plowed up like I had plowed it before I planted, only it was plowed up deeper and wider, and you just almost sprain your ankle walking across it.
Uh-huh.
So I replanted it, and now I've taken guard duty over this all night. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll throw on my coat and grab my shotgun and walk out back. I've run them off from here time and time again. I've killed dozens of them, and they just keep coming back. And they're the most destructive thing that a farmer could run across. They literally destroy your property, and they walk right straight through barbed wire fences.
And these are the feral hogs?
These feral hogs. And, some of them have the big tusk, and the breeders get up to like 300 and 400 pounds. And you don't want to back one of these things up. Generally, if they hear you coming, they're going to run from you. And they smell they have a very good smeller on them. They can smell you. They can hear pretty good, but they're almost blind. So you could walk up on them if you're downwind and, if you're real quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, you wouldn't want to back one of these things up, because these things will rip you to pieces.
Yeah, and, man, they can be very, very vicious.
Yeah, and I've got a greenie that owns 250 acres behind my 20, and he sits and watches these things.
And likes them.
Yeah, likes them. Likes to watch them.
He must not be a dog lover.
Well, he sits and watches coyotes, too, and I'm just waiting for the coyotes to run in and grab one of his pets, or next time the first time he goes to plant something back there, the hogs will come in and plow it up real good for him.
It says here in this article, the wild hogs not only compete with the natural wildlife, they also have damaged the base's agricultural land leasing program and the overall ecosystem at the installation.
Yep.
The hogs are trapped and shot on the base throughout the year and are mainly corralled by dogs trained to catch the hogs. Hughes said since January 1st, 169 hogs have been captured and killed on the base. Quote, the rooting activity of hogs damages our agricultural hay meadows, rendering them useless on many occasions. To sustain our agriculture program, we have to control these species, end quote.
There you go.
And there it is.
Sure doing damage out in my neck of the woods, I can tell you that.
Well, there it is.
So, you know where I'm going.
Lots going on. Well, have a good time.
You have a good time yourself, sir, and God bless you.
Thank you, my friend.
Adios.
Bye-bye. So this situation with Earth Charter Plus 5, we'll have to cover that tomorrow. Much going on, people, that you've got to stay attuned to. Go to AmericanExpose.com, the website, spelled with a K. Connect these dots, listeners. Vital that you do. We need your help, all of us, to work together to make a difference.
Working on a faster than you've ever before. And just trying to stay even with the Smith and Jones. Lately I've been thinking, what do you? I'm hanging by the thread, but it feels like a noose. This is what I say.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Notice FirstAmendmentRadio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab? Do you got what it takes? Are you ready to go up against Alex Limbaugh, Rush Jones? Are you funny, entertaining, as well as informative? Maybe you know a local talent whom the nation